Yes. So, I am an abortion doula as well. And I know I'm a Catholic university. I was a student here myself. So I know that that carries a lot of weight for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And I have the honor and the privilege of working with families that have had to make the hardest decision of their entire lives. And I will tell you, because I work with so many people that are having what we would consider an elective abortion in sort of the legal language, right? But are still not electing to do that as like a birth control consideration or anything of that sort, right? It is a crushing decision to have to make. I will tell you that Washington Hospital Center handles it better than any other area hospital. They have something called cuddle cots, right? Which is a chilled bed that you can put beside your bed so your baby can stay with you for like up to 2 days, right? And that is a huge difference from GW just a little further down where they will put your babies in the morgue and you can't see them.
Yeah.
That's, I also had to get a little aggressive. I went and I showed up with a cooler. That got some conversations going. I was like, you know, we have a Jewish client. Babies are not allowed to go. We cannot preserve the body by, like, religious rites here, so, like, that baby needs to be out of the morgue. I have a cooler so that I can take it across town to the funeral home. That got some movement.
Mm.
Again, I'm not shy.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, I know. I feel like there's a lot of, like, stigma around that.
It is.
What is something that we as, like, future healthcare providers can do to break down those barriers for patients who are considering elective abortions?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. So the consideration of, like, elective, right? When is it elective? Because we look at something like, you know, trisomy 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
The baby is probably not going to survive. And if they do, and here's the thing that I don't really tell you all the time. The goal for a lot of providers is to try to perform the abortion before the baby's nerve endings are formed. So the goal is to do it at a time when the baby is not going to feel any pain. But then we're doing it before there's any chance of viability. So this is a hard, like, moral and ethical decision, right? Can a baby with trisomy 18 survive? Can a baby with trisomy 21 survive, right? Possibly you hear about these miracle situations, right? But let's also talk about the risk to the birthing person,
right?
Who, in the case of some of my clients, has two older children at home that she has to be able to go home to, and a risk of hemorrhage. And a risk of a baby that's not going to survive. And the conversation to have with her older children about why she's been pregnant and now there's no baby. Right? There are a lot of pieces to these puzzles, emotionally and socially. I have a lot of clients who are having a termination for medical reasons. Right? And we have a client right now who is, it's her second pregnancy. Her first one was a TFMR, so termination for medical reasons. And she's struggling. She is so struggling. She did not want to end the first pregnancy, and she's terrified that this one's going to end on its own at some point, right? She's having a hard time, and we are here to support her, right? It's not for me, it's not for anybody in this room to make a judgment of the decision that she had to make previously, because I will tell you, that does not sit easy on her heart, right? But she had to make choices based on the information she was provided with. And, you know, it's a tricky conversation on an easy day, right? It becomes a trickier situation when people are navigating a healthcare situation that, like, they don't have all the information and providers kind of breeze in and breeze out, right? Do you guys know the statistics on miscarriage? Not talking about abortion, but just, like, miscarriage, right? Like, so pregnancies that just end sort of organically. It's closer to 1 in 3.
Okay.
Yeah. Wow. So, yeah, right. And it... Mm-hmm. And some people don't even know that they had a miscarriage, right? So there's missed miscarriages. There are miscarriages that look like a lot of things. The number of clients that I've had over the years that have had a miscarriage, which happens, and then can't get healthcare, right? Mm-hmm. And are hemorrhaging and can't get healthcare. And then, and here's a fun one. A miscarriage is a spontaneous abortion in medical language. Mm-hmm. So then your health insurance won't cover it because abortions aren't covered. So you're hemorrhaging, but you can't get health care. You wanted the pregnancy, but you can't have it. And nobody's helping. Mm-hmm. And the ER is just going to send you home and be like, good luck, we can't do anything for you. And I get to be the one to work with these clients when they get home and they're falling apart emotionally, to help them find resources, to help them find access to counseling, to help them find support for, like, you know, in some cases having to do like a DNC, right? Which counts as a termination, even if we're just removing like dead fetal tissue, right? So there's a lot of pieces to this puzzle. And so when we do like abortion work, I don't think it's what people think it is. We're not like marching in like, we didn't mean to be pregnant. We're dealing with the really hard situations of, we really wanted to be pregnant and we can't be. And now what? Mm. And we walk in that space and we do a lot of advocacy work in that space because there's a lot of laws being passed around the country that like, I don't remember which senator it was that was like, why don't we just take the ectopic pregnancies and re-implant them? And we're like, that's not, this is not, okay.
Yeah.
Do you that's think not that, how any of this works.
Yeah, I mean, again, like we're at a Catholic school,
yeah,
obviously.
Right, right.
As we kind of have these conversations, mm-hmm, with our, you know, Catholic instructors, how should, yeah, we approach the abortion issue?
Oh, that's a fantastic question. Yeah. That's a fantastic question.
So I feel like we're kind of instructed in a very, or guided in a very particular way. I'm curious.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Mm-hmm. I can't answer how to talk to, like, individual, sure, people, right? Because everybody,
right,
has their,
obviously,
own, like, you know, sort of personal stance. And I also can't instruct you how to have these conversations, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have to be able to speak from your own.
Yeah.
I know that for us, and me, and I speak for, like, me and my team of doulas, right? Because there's 11 of us on my team. We come from the perspective of protecting life, and that looks like a lot of different things. Because if your quality of life means, mm-hmm, that you now can't care for your older children, then what? If your quality of life means now you don't have access to, like, your own reproductive care,
mm-hmm,
then what? Right? If you now have, like when we talk about, I have a cute little uterus. So an ectopic pregnancy would be one that, like, implants here or, like, out here, right? If that ruptures, you could die. You could die of sepsis. Isn't it cute? Got a little smile on it. You can pass around my uterus. Anybody want to pass around uterus?
Yeah.
I have a cervix too with me. Because you never know what you need. But when we have these like ectopic pregnancies, right? You could lose your uterus, right? So like, then we can't like protect,
right,
future life,
right?
Right. Like, so there's a consideration beyond just the immediate like point in time measurement of like how do we deal with this, and then looking at the bigger picture, right? Love you guys.
Yeah.
What do we do with this? Yeah.
Yeah, and I appreciate, you know, like using,
yeah,
inclusive,
sure,
language. You said like birthing persons. Like I'm not
yeah,
I'm not sure if you can expand on that term.
On
for like birthing persons or person that's giving birth. Because I feel like we're always saying woman, right?
Right.
Or the woman giving,
right,
birth.
And we do tend to default towards women. We are currently a Catholic university, but we are in Washington, D.C.,
right,
which is a very big and broad space. And we work with trans clients. I have some men who have given birth. It's amazing. We call it seahorse birth. It's lovely. Especially when it's a water birth. Fantastic. A lot of my trans clients choose to give birth at home because their space is better protected.
Right.
We have clients that identify differently by gender, by, you know, some of them are in like a same-sex couple.
Mm.
It is not my business as a doula or a human being to pass judgment on how anybody else chooses to live their life. It is 100% my business to support them where they're at. And so if they identify with a certain gender or have chosen to change their name or have changed their religion or have no religion or are having to have a TFMR or an elective abortion or an elective C-section, I'm here to, this is my family, right? And I'm here to support them. And again, with sort of trying to close the gaps in the healthcare system, right? These are people who are marginalized. And these are some of the reasons why people don't access care, right? There's a midwifery group up in Frederick that is staunchly pro-life, and they won't take any clients who have previously had an abortion.
Oh, wow.
So, and that's their choice, right? But if you want a home birth in Frederick, you're no longer eligible. So you have to go to the hospital. Is the hospital going to support you? Is the hospital going to make comments about your prior abortions?
Yeah.
Right? And so we as doulas are trying to provide that supportive space where whatever your prior choices have been, whatever your path in life has been, this is where we are now. Let's help you move forward in a way that feels healthy. So, and that's how we help to sort of protect life and protect,
mm-hmm,
people's space moving forward, right? Because you do have to, like, whatever decisions you've made and whatever choices you made, you do have to pick up the pieces and be able to continue.
Right.
And for a lot of my folks, continue to take care of your other children,
mm-hmm,
right? Because there is a responsibility to that. And I think this is when we talk about the outcomes for African-American women specifically, this is one of the biggest things we're missing. is the number of children whose mothers don't come home after a subsequent baby. Then what?